Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kolula. We are going to jump right into this interview. We're going to welcome back violinist extraordinaire Eliza James.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, our studio audience loves you already. We're going to give you another one, I think. Oh, here it comes. Twice through the door, two rounds of applause. So you've been on the road with Paul Anka.
Mm-hmm.
You've been a road warrior. Yeah. You honestly, every time I see your posts, I'm like, I'm exhausted reading these posts. I'm like, I don't know how she's living this life. So tell us everywhere you've been and what all you've been doing.
Oh my gosh, it's a lot of places.
I know.
I've been out with Paul Anka. I've been out with Burt Bacharach.
And do you have to coordinate with them, like when tours are colliding?
They haven't actually collided that much, which I've been very lucky.
That's crazy.
Because it could be...
Right, and they're in the same circuit.
They're in the same circuit, yeah. Too. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of the same crossover fans. So, but most of the time, it doesn't conflict. So
you're just jumping off a plane, jumping right back on a plane. Yep. Jumping off a plane, getting right back on a plane.
Yeah, the United counter at LAX knows me really well.
They're probably like, hey, it's Eliza, come on in.
You were here 2 days ago. What's going on?
You're like, yes, that was me. Do you always have to buy a ticket for your violin?
No. I have a case that fits in the overhead now.
So. You're never worried about flying with it? Oh, you have a modernized. Yeah. You don't travel with your crazy old one, right? Oh, you do?
I do. I love it. And
that's amazing. And scary.
It's a pen. Yeah. It's terrifying, actually.
Yes, it's terrifying.
Yeah. Insurance.
Yeah.
Insurance.
Yeah, but insurance won't...
Praying.
You know, the thing about insurance, it won't cover the heartache.
No.
I got this instrument made for me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I've waited so long for this. And then I was like, I'm never traveling with this. Yeah. There's no way I'm going to put it in some... You know, at least you can put yours in the overhead.
Yeah.
I usually have to check mine in, so...
I don't know what I would do if they made me check my instrument. I think I would... They would see a side of Eliza.
I have an electric, and then I have an acoustic.
Oh yeah.
So I have to check in the acoustic, and then bring the electric on board.
Oh man.
Just because I just don't trust them. I have a soft case with the electric. It's easier to do that. But
yeah.
Oh my God.
It is nerve wracking. So cases.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So how crazy is your road case then?
I mean, my case. I have a BAM case, which is a really good case, and it's small enough to where they don't hassle you.
Oh, really?
I used to have, it was also a BAM case, but it was much bigger. It was like a long rectangle. And because I'm not a very big person,
right.
When I would hang it over my shoulder, it would look bigger than it actually was.
So they would stop
me? So they would stop me. Yeah.
They probably thought it was a rifle.
They're like, what is this huge thing? And I'm like, no, it's definitely in, you know, the airline regulations. I measured it, and they would say, well, we're not sure it's going to fit in the overhead.
Well, it's just there. You come through this, you know, I know we're shifting gears with this interview, but you come through these power trippers.
Oh, yeah.
It's like when people have power, no matter what limited amount of power it is, they're going to use it.
Yeah.
Now you come across some cool people, too. Like
people
are like, advance the band or you know, like even if we're in C group on Southwest or whatever it is. They're like, let us come on. They make a little closet for us.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. But I think the hardest thing is when you travel alone.
Yeah.
Because they just think you're just like, oh, you're probably playing in a marching band or something like that. And you're like, no, I do this for a living.
Yeah.
So I'm sure you deal with a lot of bullshit.
I do. Now that I have a lot of status on airlines, that helps actually.
Right.
If you have status and make sure that whenever I do gigs with other bands or companies or whatever, I tell them, you know, this is my preferred airline, and this is the reason why. Because if you want the violin to get on without any hassle, then I need to fly.
So out of curiosity, I'm going to guess.
Okay.
I'm going to guess. Delta is low on your list.
It is, actually.
Mine too.
Mostly because LAX is not a hub for Delta.
Hmm.
So
mine's just that Delta doesn't care about instruments. That's my reason. They've never cared about instruments.
Yeah.
I just avoid them like the plague.
I think, you know, a lot of it is, I don't understand how airlines cannot care about instruments. How at this point, they cannot know.
Yeah. Especially with
sense.
Like United breaks guitars. You saw that. I'm sure you've seen that music video. It's like crazy.
It just doesn't make sense to me because they have all these bands coming through, especially in LA.
Right.
You know, every time I'm at the airport, I run into another band that I know that's flying either on the same flight or...
Or when they're flying to like Austin for South by Southwest or for like Tennessee for Bonnaroo or something.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to know these are why these flights are booked.
Exactly.
For musicians, you know?
Exactly.
It's crazy. So you just got off tour with Paul Anka?
I didn't. Well, I've actually been home for a little bit. I've been doing a lot with my string quartet. So quartet 405.
So you're doing like private functions, like weddings
and
stuff
recording.
Like that?
Okay. We've been doing, corporate gigs. We've been practicing, rehearsing a
lot. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I actually have more fun, I think, in rehearsals sometimes.
Yeah.
Just because it's like a controlled environment on some level. I'm always going to love the performance more just because it's the performance, but... I find like there's when you're controlling the sound, it's like things run a little bit smoother. When you're you're at the mercy of somebody else, you're like, oh my God.
Well, and a string quartet takes time to put together.
Oh yeah.
And we've been together about a year and a half now, and it was great to be home for a little bit so we could rehearse and work on a plan because we have big plans.
That's
coming
awesome.
Up
Is there? Do you have a name?
Quartet 405.
Oh, I like it.
Like the freeway.
Yeah, because you're probably all using that to get to your gigs.
Exactly.
Now, let me ask you this. As a quartet, is there any piece where you're like, oh my God, let's not do the Brahms. Is there any piece where you're like, I'm tired of playing this?
Pachelbel's Canon.
Okay. All right. That's a favorite, apparently.
Yeah, it's a favorite, but everyone... It's just, I'd rather not.
I would say, like, Ave Maria, because people, like, want that at weddings all the time.
Yeah,
private events.
Ave Maria is not as requested as Pachelbel.
Okay, really?
Yeah, Pachelbel is, like, every time someone suggests it, our cellist just rolls her eyes, because she gets to play 8 notes for the entire song, and it goes on forever and ever and ever.
It sucks.
And it sucks, yeah.
You're like, oh. You know, it's almost like you want them to just let you cater.
And
like
we do.
Like, be the soundscape, you know, for the events.
And we do. We have, if you go on our website, if you want to book us for a wedding or whatever, bar mitzvah party, we do it all. We have a video of, like, traditional wedding songs. And there's a lot of really beautiful music out there. You don't have to stick to the originals.
Right.
You can branch out.
Yeah, especially now. It's like,
oh, yeah.
There's so many, like, there's hip-hop. What is it? I think it's called Black Violin. There's two hip-hop guys.
Yeah, I saw them at NAMM. They were great.
I did some college touring with them, and I was like, that's such a great idea. Like, classical and hip-hop merging, you know? So it's like, there's so many options.
Yeah, we're doing a producer friend of mine, Tom Chandler's wedding in September, and he's doing arrangements of Slayer tunes.
That's awesome. See, I love when they do like a theme, and it's like,
yeah, it's super
you can really
cool.
get into the arrangements and like make things cool.
Yeah, so it'll be Slayer played by a string quartet.
That's amazing. And it, like, did he make the arrangements?
Yeah, it was his idea.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's killer.
It was cool.
So do you look at, like, when somebody else gives you an arrangement,
mm-hmm.
are you like, that's not transposed for the right, you know, or are you kind of like, yeah, this is all right, this will work?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, we'd actually do a lot of our own arrangements in-house.
That's what I would assume.
So, we do that. But we also are open to playing other people's arrangements because we just enjoy playing new music and, you know.
And do you write stuff together?
Yeah.
How often do you do that?
Well, we've had different projects. Currently, we're doing... usually, how it works is we'll pick an idea. Like, right now, we're doing an Elton John project.
Awesome.
So, we'll pick that, and then we'll each put in ideas, and then it sort of goes from there. And sometimes there's one person that's in charge of doing the whole arrangement, and then we just bring... The rest of us just bring... ideas to it after we've played through it, and sometimes it's multiple people, so it really depends on who has the most time.
Now, does somebody come in with like, here, I've got this riff, like,
sometimes
or is it like all written out, like, here, I wrote everybody's parts, let's play this?
Most of the time we write it out. Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah,
so your like melodic dictation must be insane.
it's pretty good.
You know, I'm good with hearing it and playing it, but I haven't written it out in years.
Yeah.
And that's what I used to be amazing at in music school. But it's like, that's like the, you know, you the first thing to go is the things you're not exercising.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I had to orchestrate something recently, and I was like going through. And the great thing about Logic is you can just play it, and then it does everything. And I'm like, oh, it's right there. But if I had to write it out, I would be sitting there for a couple hours just like making sure, like, okay, one and two.
Well, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I've been playing off and on in the Soundcheck Live and the Ultimate Jam Night. And that's one thing that actually makes you really fast at melodic dictation, because a lot of times the songs that they give you, they're like, okay, we're going to play, you know, some song by AC/DC. And it doesn't have violin in it, but you have to make it have violin in it. Wow. So you have to, you know.
So how far in advance do you know the songs?
Oh, they usually tell me like a week in advance, maybe.
That's crazy.
So, I mean, and it's usually like a couple days before that I'm like.
You're probably a crazy sight reader too, right?
Yeah, I can sight read.
Sight reading like was great for me for singing. Mm-hmm. But when I do it on an instrument, it's like. It slows me down. It's just a different... Yeah. I don't know what it is. It's like connecting it to the fingers.
Yeah.
I can hear it more than I can just like sit there and just, you know, do it like on guitar. It's easier for me on piano because you see all the notes, but it's like there's so many different little fingerings you can do on guitar. So just like... I'm sure violin's like that too, right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I recently did a transcription of the guitar solo for Unforgiven.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Metallica,
yeah. And someone sent me the guitar music, and I had never seen music that looked like that before.
Wow.
I was like, what in the heck is this? there's like little up arrows and bendy things.
Yep.
And I'm going, oh, wait. So, and someone explained it to me, like, the note you're seeing is not the note you're playing. And I was like, okay, I'm done.
You're like, that's not like, how it works in my
world. That is not how it works.
I also, like I'm fascinated with jazz charts, too.
Yeah.
Because it's like... You know, you'll see guys just like sight reading a jazz chart, and they'll look at, you know, they'll look at the page, and then they'll just put it away, and they're good, and they just know where it's gonna go, and play the head, come around. And I'm just like, that's true musicianship. I just love that. I think there's something about it.
You have to get. I mean, the guys who are really, really good at that, you know, you have to get. That's what they do. You get used to it. You get really quick at it. And sight reading is one of those things. Like, if you don't do it all the time.
It's a muscle.
It's a muscle.
Like, I find that, you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. It's like every musician goes to music school and they show you all the workouts.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, here, you're going to have to do all this and all of this. Yep. And then you go out into your career and everybody kind of goes in so many different ways.
Yeah.
Because there's so many, like a composer is not playing as much as he's writing and, you know, transcribing and transposing. But if you go to, you know, like, let's say a horn player, they're not writing tunes. So it's like they're not always doing the same. They're not working out the same muscles.
Right.
Which is crazy.
And it's a lot of work to, you know, to do everything. Sometimes there's just not enough hours in the day.
Yes. But I mean, then you see those cats that do it all and play several instruments. I'm like, I should just quit.
You're like, that's not fair.
Yeah, it's just not fair. Like, how do you have the time?
How
like,
do you do that?
Well, just think about it like this. Like, there's
just
one guy.
Lock myself in a room.
There's one
for
guy
hours.
In Paul Simon's band. He plays banjo, cello, trumpet, electric guitar, mandolin, and he arranges and he writes and He's just, he's like a beast.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And then so he starts singing. And I'm like, dude. So I asked him, I said, like, come on, you're like a freak of nature. And he said, well, my family was all, we were all musicians.
Yeah.
So like I was the youngest and my whole family was sitting there playing on, you know, in the living room. And if you weren't playing an instrument, you had to pick up another one and learn real quick. I'm like, that's crazy. So yeah. He was like playing five instruments when he was like 10.
That's cool.
Ridiculous. Makes me feel worthless. All right. So you're on tour with Paul Anka. You're on tour with Burt Bacharach. You're going out again with Paul Anka.
Yes.
Where are you going?
We're going to the East Coast. I can tell you
where. Yeah. Exactly. Tell us. Our listeners. Where are you going to be?
I'm going to find my tour schedule.
That's right.
We're going to be on the East Coast. And I can find
And do you do like a mix of like casinos, like theaters?
Yeah, we do a lot of different things. Mostly casinos and theaters.
You have a preference? Because I definitely have a preference.
I think I like theaters better.
Oh, they're the best.
Yeah.
They're the best.
We're playing this really amazing theater called the St. George Theater.
Is that in Washington?
No, it's Long Island.
Okay.
And it's beautiful. I love playing there. Walking in there. You know, when you walk in a really old theater and it's just like you can feel all of the greatness that has been on that stage.
Yes.
I love that.
I played the Apollo Theater and like,
oh my gosh.
I walked out and I saw like the entire thing and it like, you don't get that feeling until everybody's in their seats, the lights, you know, like even sound check, you don't get that feeling. I mean, you get a little bit, and you know, because you're like, you see it and you take it in, but when you're in that moment, it's got a different energy.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it was like overwhelming. It was like seeing this huge wave, and it was like, okay, let's do this. You know? So, but casinos don't have that
casinos
vibe.
Casinos don't have that
vibe. I don't know why. They just don't think about it.
They're just fun. You know, my favorite theater I ever played was Vienna Opera House.
Oh, wow.
And I remember, like, getting chills as I walked into the backstage, and like even now, like the
I'm getting chills. You're telling me this. Yeah.
And it was so amazing. And I had, you know, been walking around Vienna and just taking it all in. I did like a musical pilgrimage there. I went to Mozart's house and I went to Beethoven's apartment and I touched his piano.
But that's crazy.
don't tell anybody.
I lived in Austria. I lived in Graz.
Oh wow!
So I've been all over there. But the crazy thing is, it's like the composers you've been idolizing and I've been idolizing, that's where they were just walking around. They're walking on those same cobblestone roads into those same opera houses with the original pieces of work. And like, okay, let me hear how this sounds.
And almost, I mean, before I saw, and Beethoven's near and dear to my heart.
High five.
And
high five.
And before I saw when I went to his apartment, it was just in a regular apartment building. People still live there.
What?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Really?
People still live there. It's on the third floor, and it took me forever. It took me all day to find it because, you know, the tiny little streets, and then I'm trying to read it.
What, did you knock on the door? You're like...
And they're like, oh, it'll be €6 to get in.
You're like...
I was like...
can I see Beethoven's...
Is Beethoven home? And so it was €6 to get in, and there was just one dude at a table. And he gave me a little pamphlet, and then I just walked around. And they had the piano that he composed his, I believe it was his 4th, 5th, and 7th symphonies on.
Wow.
Something like that. And his 7th symphony is like the second movement of the 7th symphony is one of my most favorite pieces of classical music. And
after 4, he was deaf, right? I think after 4 or 5. Because I know he wrote 8 deaf.
Right.
I think you wrote 7 deaf, too.
7, yeah. So I sat at the little listening station, and I just put the headphones on, and I stared out the window that he would have stared out
of. That's crazy.
And listened to the 7th Symphony. And it was like a spiritual experience. And afterwards, you know, it was amazing. So that had happened the day before we played the theater. And then I walked into the theater, and I was just, it was so incredible.
Right.
Thinking about all of the music, the people who composed the music that I love so much were standing on this very stage in this very spot. And that was just so
wild.
It was.
I had these experiences where I was like singing in choruses and singing solos and in cathedrals and having that same kind of experience. And it was just like, you don't get that in the U.S.
No.
There's no classical heritage
no.
in the U.S. So, like, coming back here after this huge voyage of, like, musical exploration where you're, like, on the brink of tears every corner of every cathedral because you're, like, you're walking into the history, like you said. But you come back here and it just doesn't have the same vibe.
No, it doesn't.
That doesn't have the same appreciation.
Nah. Some of the older theaters, like the Count Basie Theater is pretty cool. A lot of greats played there, you know. But we don't really have that vibe in California specifically. Right. We're not that old, you know. Right. we're very
well. And it's
young
also like there's so much jazz and there's so much, you know. Yeah. That's what we're known for.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to think of like how many hundreds of years all that was going on. Like Mozart's my boy. Like,
yeah.
Like Mozart, I could just follow his whole life because I just think he is the first rock star that ever lived. He broke all the rules.
Oh yeah.
He did more with less and played and wrote and just knew every ridiculous nuance.
You know, he never made a mistake.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I went to his apartment, and you get a little tour, and they have his scores there, and he never made a mistake. He never crossed anything out. He wrote it down. It was like he downloaded it from somewhere else. Yeah.
That is crazy.
I think they said he would write like 4 pages of score per day, and like none of it would have a mistake.
Oh my god, I got chills.
I know. Dude. I mean, it's not human, you know. There are certain people
that just have
that have existed that just have that thing. There's something else, you know, and we're just here to experience it.
Wild.
Yeah.
Let's get back to you, because you know what? Let's bring it all back. All right. So let's play something. What do you want to play first?
Speaking of Burt Bacharach, let's play his medley first. This was written by Burt Bacharach, but arranged by our violist Lila Crosswhite and David Joyce, the keyboard player for Burt Bacharach. And he's playing piano on it as well.
I bet he's a monster, by the way.
Oh, he's fantastic. Yeah.
I can already tell he's a monster.
He's fantastic. And we did this as a present for Bert on his birthday last year. And he is going to have another birthday May 12th.
You gotta top it.
Yeah.
How are you gonna top it?
I don't know. I don't know how we're gonna top it. But
all right, here it is, a birthday gift. Thank you. Man. You work with a legend. You work with legends.
Yeah.
Speaking of composers, he's written some of the best and biggest songs of our time.
Yeah, totally.
Are you ever just like, what were you thinking when you were...
You know, it's amazing. When I think about it, you know, it's been 16 years that I've been in his band.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah. And after all those concerts, I still love it more than I did.
Well, it makes you appreciate good writing.
Oh, it does. You never get tired of the songs.
No, good writing, you never get tired of it.
You never get tired of it. Even listening to that now, I'm just like, oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's so pretty.
I love Bird.
And you know what? And the arrangements are so bitchin'. It's like,
oh, that's
so great. Yeah. The playing was amazing.
Thank you.
The harmonies, the way you guys were working together. I like how every melody was played in every different line.
Yeah. And that was, we recorded that live. We did the video and the sound recording at the same time.
Well, you guys tour together, so that you got that. You're like, we've never, it's like we've never played together. Except we've been together for 16 years. No, but that's amazing. Even just having that precision and just knowing that you can execute like that.
Yeah. And, you know, this group of girls in this quartet they're really great, so... They're always down.
What was his reaction? He must have loved it.
Oh, he loved it. In fact, I didn't get a chance to talk to him about it because, you know, it was his birthday.
Right, right.
And, of course, he's, you know, Quincy Jones gets the phone call first.
Yes, yes, of course.
But, you know, we were in, I believe it was Finland, and I ran into him walking around town on our night off. And I was like, hey, Bert, what did you think of the video? And he said, oh, I loved it. It was fantastic. It was great.
That's
Thank
awesome.
Thank you so much.
Well, especially hearing his work back to him. Yeah. That's amazing.
And what do you give the guy who has everything? How do you show your appreciation to someone, you know?
No, you did it right. You did it right.
But he did love it, so that was great.
You know what baffles me? It's like a songwriter like that should be writing big pop tunes now for artists. And it's like the weird thing about the industry, it's like they're looking at the new trend of songwriters, the young... You know, guys, but like guys like that, they'll always be able to spit out a tune like that. Like,
well,
it's nothing.
He is still writing.
Well, I know that, but I'm saying, like, what I mean is like the labels, like the major, like for major pop songs, don't have arrangements and melodies like that.
Well, a lot of singers can't sing that.
That's true. That's true. That's true. That's true.
You know, a lot of these pop melodies are two notes, three notes.
Right.
And it's like, I mean, it doesn't even interest me. Like, I remember, I didn't even watch the Grammys this year. I usually do, but I think I was working or something. But, you know, I didn't recognize a lot of the artists out there.
I went to Coachella and I felt the same way. I was like, man, I think I'm the old guy on the block now.
I guess I just don't listen to that much pop music anymore because I just kind of grew out of it or something. Right. It just doesn't interest
me.
Well,
there's something that's not as fascinating about it because we grew up with the Michael Jacksons, the Prince, you know, the Madonnas, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a different vibe.
I do love Lady Gaga.
Well, she's awesome.
Yeah.
And you played Coachella last year with Eminem.
Yeah. He was fantastic.
Oh, man. And the string arrangements were amazing.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me there was like pyrotechnics going on.
Oh, my God.
Just like, oh, my God.
Caught my hair with one fire.
In the middle of the performance.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
I was there for that. I was like, man, this is crazy. It's so good.
It was so amazing. That was really an amazing
experience. You see that there is talent like
there
that.
There is. Yeah, there is talent.
But there's also like a lot of hyped talent too, which is a bummer.
And a lot of it has to do with, you know, the show. Like, you can have a great show, but to me, what stands the test of time is the writing.
Right.
You know?
How many hit songs does Burt Bacharach have?
Oh my gosh.
He probably has like 20 plus.
Oh.
More than that?
Maybe 100.
100 hits? Wow.
Yeah. If you look up his discography, I mean, he's had hits with, multiple hits with, you know, the same song. Like, Always Something That Remind Me.
Right.
That was a hit in the 60s.
Oh my
and
God.
It was a hit in the 80s.
That's crazy. I didn't even know that was his.
Yeah. So that song has been on the charts twice with different people.
Wow. I didn't even know he wrote that.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I need to go through his catalog.
Yeah.
I told you a long time ago that I had an amazing Burt Bacharach store when I was mastering a record.
Oh, yeah.
And my mastering engineer was like, hey, man, one of my clients, Burt, is going to come in and, you know, he has to come in during your window. So, you know, just go out to your car and listen to some of the mastering that we've done already. I'm like, cool, no problem. So in walks Burt Bacharach.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, it's Burt Bacharach. And I just, all in my head was just Austin Powers introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Burt Bacharach, you know? And I was like, oh yeah, go ahead, you know? And I went to the car and I was listening, and all of a sudden, like half an hour goes by, and I hear this knock from one of their, you know, studio assistants. Yeah. He's like, Burt wants to see you. And I was like, oh my God, what did I do? Man?
Oh, no.
Did I hit something on the way out? Like, oh my God. So I'm like, my heart is beating fast. And he's like, hey, I just wanted to say thank you for letting me come in during your session and, you know, using your time. And I was like, dude, you're Burt Bacharach.
Yeah, like,
bro,
it's okay.
I'm like, you're good. The pleasure's on mine, man. And he was, just the fact that he went to that next level of gesture, I'm like, this guy is a badass.
He is. Know?
You just realize that those are the guys that are real.
Yeah.
The real legends.
You know, he's come up from nothing. He built himself. You know, he says the first, I think like the first year that he was at the Brill Building, he didn't have one single hit song.
Wow.
And he's just grinding it out, borrowed money from his dad. And,
wow.
You know, like he's been in the trenches like all of us. And you know, so he gets it. He understands.
That's probably why he still loves touring so much.
Yeah, he does.
He's like, I'm gonna just keep on riding, riding this until the, you know, to the sunset.
Yeah, and he's been writing a lot of socially aware songs lately too, which I totally appreciate. There's a song he wrote recently that all the proceeds, it's about violence in schools, and all the proceeds go to.
Like the gun shootings?
Yeah.
Wow.
They go to the Sandy Hook Foundation.
That's awesome.
So he's been doing a lot of stuff like that. And I love him for that. You know, he's really concerned about the world that we live in. And he wants to leave it.
What the world needs now is love.
Is love sweet love. And it still is the
still
truth.
Relevant.
Still relevant still to this day. You know, so I really appreciate that about him. It's nice to work for an artist that cares.
Well, that's why
deeply.
That's why you work with him for 16 years.
Yeah, like, exactly.
If he was a jerk, you'd be like, I worked with him for 6 months, and that, then I realized there's no way I could do this. So
yeah,
that's
and
the
I,
other
I
too.
Love him dearly.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Let's play something else. What do we
want
to play next?
Let's change it up a little bit.
Oh, all right.
All right. So this next one is a cover of Don't Stop Me Now.
Ooh, one of my favorite bands, one of my favorite songs.
Yep. And we recorded this on these great instruments called NS Designs.
Hmm.
They're electric instruments. They're fabulous.
Intonated perfectly, I assume?
Oh, they're so easy to play.
Wow.
They're so easy to play. And they sound great. Recording with them, it was really easy to put effects on them. We actually rep them. So we were at NAMM this year and did a whole thing every day.
That's awesome.
We were there
in the booth?
In the booth every day.
That's, I don't know how you do that. That's
we had
experience.
Big crowds, actually. We had
no,
like
that's
30, 40 people.
That's the easy part. It's just the NAMM part.
The NAMM part.
It's tough.
It's
a grind.
It was a long,
it's awesome.
A long
I went last year and my percussionist, he's like, man, I haven't gone in like 5 years. And so I went last year, and I called him. I said, dude, if I ever tell you I'm going to NAMM again. He said, I told you this. I said, yeah, I don't want to play it. I don't want to go. I'm fine. I've got all the gear I need.
Yeah.
I'll go in 10 years when there's real advancements. That I'm like, what? There's a bazooka guitar. That's when I'll go. All right, let's play this. Don't Stop
all right,
Me Now.
Don't Stop Me Now, recorded on NS Violins. Thank you.
Yeah, I love that "We Are the Champions" little quote at
the
end.
Yeah, it was cool.
Dude, that was so killer.
Oh, thank you.
Man, the tempo, the arrangement, playing. Man, did you do that? Like, some of the, it sounded like some of it was ad-lib, too.
Yeah. We wrote our own solos.
Who composed that little line? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, we wrote our own solos. And actually, Oliver Charles, the drummer from Ben Harper and the Innocent Criminals, is playing drums.
Wow.
And Nick Campbell is on bass. He's a monster bass player. And then we have myself and Rebecca Schlappick Charles, Oliver's wife, is the other violinist in our quartet.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was like a family affair.
Wow.
And
I like that you did acoustic and then jumped to electric.
Yeah.
Man, that's
and then
awesome.
Danica Pinner is on cello, and her boyfriend, Nick, played bass. So you're
like all paired up.
Yeah, we all have like, you know, we all try to bring.
You're like the Partridge Family.
Exactly.
With strings.
The strings.
Now, that's not your quartet.
Yeah, that's the quartet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we bring in guests, you know, to.
You just do like a series of videos.
Yeah.
You just do like concerts, like living room concerts.
That would be great. We've played at a couple parties.
That's awesome.
So house parties and stuff.
And you do, like, do you choose the arrangements or do you, like, that has to be.
That was one of ours. That we all, Lila started it, and then we all worked on our solos and added stuff to it.
And it must be cool to do something like Queen that lends itself to symphonic vibes. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's like a rock symphony, you know?
Yeah.
So when you play it, it's like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Yeah. What's a song that was a stretch for you to arrange for your quartet?
We recently did a cover of Losing It by Rush.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Just with the quartet?
Just with the quartet.
No drums?
No drums.
Wow.
And it was really difficult. We actually had a contest, and it was related to the Queen video. So if you shared the Queen video and hashtagged it certain things, then we would enter your name. We put names in a hat.
Wow.
We drew a name, and whoever won got to pick the song.
And they picked Rush?
And they picked Rush.
Wow. You're like, damn it. Let's pick another name.
No, it ended up being really cool. It was definitely a challenge, but it ended up being really cool. And Rush ended up sharing our video on their Instagram
awesome.
And on their Facebook. Yeah.
Because they're cool guys.
Yeah, like, and they sent us, Alex Lifeson sent us a message saying, like, thank you girls for doing this. And
that's
it
awesome.
It was like the coolest thing.
You're like, oh, I need to celebrate and high five that dude that chose Rush.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was definitely a dude that chose Rush.
Yeah.
There's no way that a girl was like, Rush, let's do this.
Yeah. And so it ended up being really, really cool. And so that's on our Instagram and our Facebook and all that stuff.
I'm going to have to add you as the quartet. I think we're friends only as singular people. Now I'm going to have to add the quartets.
At Quartet 405.
All right. That's easy to remember.
Yeah.
Well, let's play something else real quick.
Okay. So we did.
We're just going to boom, boom, boom.
We're just going to get them out.
Yeah.
I got two more for you.
All right. Let's do it.
So this next one, well, let's do Paul Anka.
Put your head on my shoulder.
Put your head on my shoulder.
All right, here comes Paul Anka, classic songwriter.
There's a surprise at the end.
Oh, I like surprises. Here comes. Thank you.
put your head on my shoulder.
Man, that gave me chills. He made a little cameo.
Yeah, he
did. That's awesome.
He did.
He must have wrote that as like a teenager.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite songs, too.
I think he was 16 when he wrote that.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
You must... So, like, I didn't know his catalog and Burt Bacharach's catalog completely.
Yeah.
Did you know it completely before you played with him?
No.
So you were just like... You must have been like, oh, my God, he wrote this? Oh, my God, he wrote this? He wrote this?
It's literally how I spent the first... few concerts with both of them was like, oh my gosh.
You're like, this is a classic. He wrote this?
Yeah. It was incredible. Wild. Yeah. And that's one of my favorite Paul Anka songs. I mean, I have so many.
He and Bert are like the two classic.
Yeah.
I mean, you have Barry Manilow in there and then you got the trifecta.
I know.
That's it. That's it. Yeah. You got to lock it down.
I know. I gotta get in the play with him somehow. But yeah, PA's been... he's such a good sport.
PA. You're like, PA. I was like, what is she talking? Oh, Paul Anka.
He's such a good sport, and I love playing in his band.
He just, because he knows. He knows what the grind is like.
He's an incredible performer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you go to a show, he's running up and down the aisles.
What?
He's like dancing with people, singing with people.
He's a showman.
He's a showman to the max.
He's old school. All the old schoolers are like that. They know how to wine and dine the crowd.
Yeah.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
He can take a crowd. Like, you know, when you do corporate things sometimes, it's a little bit tougher of a crowd.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
It's like soulless audience.
Yeah.
That's the audience.
Room full of lawyers.
Yeah. And the crowd goes miles.
Yes, exactly. And you're just like trying to bring everything that you have. And just people are just sitting there.
Yeah, it's the worst. I can't.
He can take a room like that.
And control
it? 2 minutes, we'll have the entire room on their feet.
Really?
Yeah.
I need to take notes. Because I've played many a corporate party where, like, the worst corporate party I played, I wouldn't even say it because I don't want anybody to know, but they were so consumed with an activity.
Yeah.
That it was like, why are we even here? It's like, there's no point to this. We're background noise. So,
yeah.
And the funny thing is they gave us like Prince's sound crew.
Oh,
they gave us like the most amazing.
You get treated very well.
But it's just like, except with when it comes to the applause. It's
yeah.
Like, or the interaction with the audience.
The interaction is more difficult because there's so much going on. And usually they've been at conferences all day and they're tired.
Right.
And they're like, oh, yet another thing I have to go to. But no, but he can literally take a room that's completely dead, and in 2 minutes, people will be on their feet. People will be screaming, oh my God, Paul Anka, you're so sexy. And
that's crazy. I need to see that. I want to see a corporate party. That's the show I want to go see. I don't want to see the theater or the casino. I want to see the corporate party Paul Anka show.
He's pretty incredible. And, you know, I've learned so much
from
working with him.
When you're around legends, you're seeing, you're learning every day.
Yeah.
It's like, because there's so much, they got so much vast knowledge of how to do it, to do it right.
Yeah, and he's funny too. He's great to be around, so.
You're a lucky girl.
I very much enjoy it.
So what's the Salute the Troops? Tell me about this.
So Salute the Troops, we did, because all of us have a connection to the military. My little brother, got back from Afghanistan in November. He did a tour there. And my brother Andrew was in Afghanistan. My brother Jason was
total
in the
dichotomy.
Air Force.
You're like with Burt Bacharach. Yeah. You're like seeing warfare. That's nuts.
Yeah. And so my brother Jason was in Kuwait for a year and a half, I think. And now he runs a base in Oklahoma, and he's in the Air Force. And Danica, our cellist, her sister is in the Marines. And Rebecca has someone in the Army, I believe, and Lila has someone. So we just wanted to do something, you know, to say thank you. And we try to do that with each of our videos. You know, we find something that's meaningful to someone in the group or all of us.
That's like the inspiration.
That's the inspiration.
You need that in there.
Yeah, because that's what really makes the music great.
Yeah. And, well, and it makes you want to work on it.
Exactly.
You know? You want to make it good. You don't want to phone it in.
Right. And then our quartet is about not phoning it in.
Yes, I like it.
We do not phone anything in.
That's good. That's the way it should be.
Yeah. So this is, and we actually, if you go on YouTube, there's a video and it's super fun. We shot it at the Torrance Air Force Museum.
Wow.
Torrance Air Museum. Yeah. And they were super cool and they let us like go by all the planes and Yeah, it was awesome. It was so fun.
You had like a full-on video shoot of
Air Force Base. So go to the Torrance Air Museum. They're great.
I love it.
Really nice people.
I didn't think you'd get that promotion anyway. Here, salute the troops. Ready to wave the flag.
I know, right?
That's beautiful.
Well, thank
you. So, Eliza, you have a charity that you've been working with.
Yes.
That's doing a really noble cause, and I want to make sure we announce this. So talk to us about this for a second.
Okay. So I have been working with the Shower of Hope for about 2 years now since we started, and we provide hot showers, meals, toiletries, supplies to the homeless in Los Angeles, and we have 12 locations now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How'd you get involved with this or hear about it?
I started actually when I was going on tour, and I was in an Uber driving down my street, and I saw a woman showering with a water bottle. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's just wrong. That in this city, we need to have facilities. And so I started collecting toiletries and asking my band to collect the toiletries from the hotels that they don't use. And I was giving them to people, and then I started working with Monday Night Mission and feeding the homeless on Skid Row, and it just, and then Monday Night Mission started the Shower of Hope. And so now I give all my toiletries to the Shower of Hope, and I volunteer as often as I possibly can.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And how can people donate? Or
they can go to the showerofhope.org and check us out. We'd love to have you as a volunteer if you ever want to join us. All are welcome, and you know, we can always use donations of toiletries, shoes, socks, underwear. Those are big ones.
Dude, you know what? We're ending on a note from the heart. I love it. And where can people find you if they want to hire the quartet or you as a solo violinist?
You can go to quartet405.com. And you can go to elizajamesmusic.com. And it's at quartet405 on Instagram and Facebook. And Eliza James Music.
And Eliza James, you're going to have to come back in another 6 to 9 months.
Because we will
get more updates and more quartet recordings and videos.
Yeah.
You've been an awesome guest.
Oh, well, thanks for having
me. High five. High five of approval.
Yes.
On behalf of Eddie Pence and myself, we'll see you guys here next week.